Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, presented by the Low T Center. Here's Schlereth and Evan.
A Hooters Hot Seat live here from Miami. Great receiver in the NFL for 14 years. Anquan Boldin with Arizona, Baltimore, San Francisco, finished up with Detroit. But I want to ask you right away, thank you, by the way, for joining us, about your Baltimore days with Joe Flacco, because Broncos tried to make it work with Joe this year, and it just didn't work out. What did you think about the potential of that fit when it first came about?
With Joe in Denver. Initially, I thought it would work because, I played with Joe at a time where Joe was Joe. He was, especially in the last year that I was with him, the Super Bowl run, the way that he played in that playoff run was lights out. So I always felt like Joe was a good quarterback. I always felt like he didn't get the credit that he deserved. But when I saw it happen, I thought it would initially work. For whatever reason it didn't, I don't know, but I was kind of shocked that it didn't work out.
Do you think he has much football left in him as a starter in this league, or with the way the league is kind of evolving, is he staring at maybe a backup role to finish out his career?
I've seen some of the quarterback play over the last couple of years, so it's kind of hard for me to say that he doesn't have a chance to start in the NFL. I think it all depends on who's the offensive coordinator, what system he's in. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Anquan, you were one of those guys who set a tone on the offensive side of the football, and that to me rarely happens from the receiver position. Set the kind of toughness tone and the attitude tone of your offense. Any receivers that you like to watch in today's game that you feel like bring that kind of attitude and that kind of toughness to an offensive system?
Yeah, I like the young kid from San Fran, Deebo Samuels.
Yeah,
I love the physicality that he plays with. I like Courtland Sutton in Denver. Physical guy, same kind of presence. And Mike out in New Orleans.
Right.
I think he plays physical as well. But I think as a receiver, man, too many times people look at receivers as divas. They look at guys who don't really want to get hit, guys that don't want to go across the middle. I guess my mentality was completely different because I started out playing free safety. So only thing I wanted to do was hit people.
Right.
So I had an agreement with guys in the NFL. You want to make this a rough game, let's do it. So if you hit me, you got to keep your head on the swivel for the rest of the game.
Do coaches want receivers to play physical, or are the days now with everything spread out that isn't a priority as much?
I would hope so. So as a receiver, I always felt like, whenever I had the ball in my hands, I wanted everybody out there, blocking, trying to get me free or whatever. And I feel the same way as a receiver. If somebody else has the ball in their hands, I don't want to be the reason that a guy doesn't spring a 30 or 50 yard run, because I wasn't making a block or could have made a block down the field or whatever it is. So I feel like, that's your responsibility. Although a lot of guys would prefer not to do it. That's part of the game.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Anquan Boldin joining us right here on 104.3 The Fan. Hey, tell me about what you've seen as you've watched Patrick Mahomes and just kind of your perspective on him as a quarterback, having played with a bunch of quarterbacks over the course of your career.
He's a special talent. The things that you see him do on the football field, man, it's special. You don't see it often. The throws that he makes, the no-look passes. But I think it gets overlooked. I think he's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
The weapons that he has around him, that should be legal.
Right.
The kind of speed that he has to throw to, he's a special talent. I think he'll be successful in his league for a long time, especially pairing him with a guy like Andy Reid.
What about that? Because in Denver, we're looking at the prospects of going up against Patrick Mahomes for like the next 15 years. Yeah. You're like, hey, wow, exactly.
Good luck with that. But two of the arguments that I've heard are, hey, look, Mahomes is a byproduct of Andy Reid's system, and look at all the talent he has around him. Now, I know I'm talking to a wide receiver, but what is it about the elite quarterbacks? How do they make the talent around them better and aren't simply dependent on the receivers that they're throwing to?
Well, I you know, people saying that he's a byproduct of Andy Reid's system, and I think the success of majority of the players in the NFL is based on where they land. Because if you think about it, you have guys that are in college who are lighting it up, and they go to a certain situation, and then you never hear from them again.
Right.
And then you have guys who are, you know, barely heard of in college, and then you put them in the right system, coming into the NFL, and then they flourish. So I think at some point, you know, you have to be paired in the right system. Don't get me wrong. You have some guys that can be successful no matter what system they play in. And I think Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys. But I also think that if Tom Brady goes to Oakland, he's not Tom Brady that we know right now. So I think a lot of the success that players have has a great deal to do with where they land and what coaches they play under and what system and scheme they're in.
How many years did you play with Larry Fitzgerald?
Me and Fitz played 5 years together. Yeah.
Six. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald, obviously still one of the great ambassadors to our game. I think, well, just give me a little bit about Larry, because I've got to know him over the years. But just from a player standpoint, what was like playing with you and Larry together, two of the best? Now, you guys made up one of the best tandems in all football during your time, obviously.
Yeah. You know, playing with Larry for 6 years was great. Larry's a football guy all the time. I mean, he loves the game. He grew up around the game, loves the history of the game. He really respects the game, and you can tell the way that he prepares. He's a guy that, you know, works his butt off, really works at his craft. I mean, he's the type of guy, he'll come in, hey, what did you see, you know, this game, or what did you see on film? What do you think I can get better at? What do you think will take my game to the next level? I remember him saying that to me one off season, and I told him, if you work on your yards after the catch,
right,
that'll take you. And the next year, you see him. That's, you know, that was the only thing that he worked on, and you saw him take off to another level. So Larry is a guy that really respects the game, really has great knowledge of the history of the game, been around it forever. And he really wants to have his name etched in stone, like when his career is all said and done.
Yeah, he'll certainly get that done. Real quick, I want you to tell me a little bit about Players Coalition, since you retired a couple of years ago. You kind of helped create the Players Coalition and what you guys are doing for social justice and some of the things you guys are doing in the communities around the NFL.
Right. So since I retired, well, that's probably one of the reason I retired was to help co-found the Players Coalition. Unfortunately, I lost a cousin to the hands of a police officer, mm-hmm, after he broke down on the side of the road. And for me, you know, seeing it on TV is different than living through it. And I felt like the platform that I had been blessed with by God, I had to use that to try to create change in this country. And that's what we've been trying to do through policy, through advocating, through, you know, giving people information that they otherwise didn't have, through education. I mean, you name it, we're trying to, you know, touch people in different ways.
Mm-hmm. You're working here with Office Depot, and talk a little bit about what you're working with them, and also that you were the 2015 Walter Payton Man of the Year, and I know a lot of accomplishments for you as a player, but where does that honor rank in terms of things that you're most proud of? Because every team nominates one, and to be picked as that guy for everything that you do outside the playing lines, what is that honor? What did that honor mean to you?
For me, it ranks right up there at the top, because, I mean, you know, we're in the locker room, and we play in a league with guys that are special. I mean, guys that are elite at what they do. But at some point, that leaves, that fades. But I think what you do off the field will never fade. And that's really your legacy. That's something that not only you can be proud of, but your family, the organizations that you represent, your kids, everybody. And I think for me, that's what it's all about, you know, making a difference in my community. It would be selfish of me to be in the NFL for 14 years and not give back to others. I mean, everybody who's played in the NFL, whether they want to say it or not, you have been helped by somebody else. Anybody that has been successful in life, period, has had help from some other place, somebody else. And I think it's only right that we do the same thing, which is one of the reasons why I was partnering with Office Depot, because of the work that they do in the communities, how they invest in young kids, how they invest in businesses, build communities. And that's part of the things that I've done with my foundation personally over the last 17 years.
Last question. Pleasant memory for you, painful one for Bronco fans. Did you think that game was over before the ball flew over Raheem Moore's head into Jacoby Jones' hands?
If you go back and look at that year, because we had a situation early in the year where we played San Diego, and we had to win that game in order to even have a chance to make it in the playoffs. Fourth down, it's 4th and 29, and we throw a dump pass to Ray Rice in the flat.
Yeah. I remember that play.
And the only thing I'm thinking in my head is, Joe, what are you doing?
Yes.
You know, 4th and 29, we run all verts, and the ball has to come out soon. So I'm running down the field, and I'm looking to see who we threw the ball to, and he throws a screen pass to Ray Rice coming out of the backfield. And fortunately for us, we get, you know, 30 yards on a 4th and 29. So at that point, I felt like we were destined to win the Super Bowl. So no matter what happened,
No
matter what situation we were in, even the one in Denver, you know, we were going to come up with it. So, yeah.
It was cold that night.
Oh my God.
It was cold.
Yeah. -18.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Anquan, thank you very much. Really enjoyed it.
No great problem. Seeing you.
Anquan Boldin, join us here on the Hooters Hot Seat live from Miami. All right. We'll get back into some of the stuff that we learned yesterday from Roger Goodell and from the 49ers. And the Chiefs will do that coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.